Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the day you've blessed us with so many things already, and now the awesome opportunity to be able to get into your word. Help us now as we do that to understand it, apply it in the right ways. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Accepted unto God. We all want to be accepted unto God. We want all of our behavior to be acceptable to God. We want to be pleasing to God. If you have the right attitude, you want that, I should say, to always be pleasing to Him, to study so that you can know the will of the Lord for you by studying His Word, by praying and listening to the Holy Ghost. Of course, it's got to start out with you devoting your life to the Lord, accepting the Lord as your Savior, repenting from your sins, and becoming a born-again Christian. Then you begin the process of serving the Lord and hoping to and striving to be acceptable to the Lord. Because there'll be judgment day when everything we've done is all going to be looked at. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it's an awesome section here concerning how we need to behave and come to the Lord as dear children, which is not talking about coming in a rambunctious, disobedient way, but coming as a child that truly is concerned for pleasing their parent. As we look to the Heavenly Father, that we want to come to Him as humble as a child and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? As we see in Ephesians chapter 5, pick it right up, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. To love. The Lord emphasizes love all throughout the Word of God. On our evening series and our Wednesday night series, we're still in the word love. And it's a very popular series online. So it's awesome that we have so much love poured upon us by grace from the Lord. It's only right that we should turn around and share that love with others out there. And as he says, to walk in love. That means all of your behavior, let it be centered on love. Primary, love for God. And then secondary, love for everyone else. As it continues, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It's a shame that he even has to mention such behavior to those that are considered the saints, saints being those that are born again Christians, to even consider that you have to give up fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. As he continues with other behaviors that should not be part of the Christian walk. In verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. See, if we truly are thankful for the blessings that the Lord has provided us with day by day, the grace that he shows us, the mercy that he shows us, the then we would humble ourselves and come to him and do exactly what he wants us to and show him the kind of love that he's showing us. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These vain words, which means worthless words, fleeting away. You have those that, even preachers, pastors, ministers, that want to lift people up, and that's all they're interested in. I call them the fluff and stuff preachers. They give them the fluff and stuff, the feel-good sermons. But never anything that convicts their behavior. Nothing that really shows them that they need to walk a straight and narrow path instead of becoming like the world. Many churches have become worldly, have opened their doors to worldly activities worldly music even, in order to appeal to the world to come in and continue to be worldly within the church, which is wrong. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience. Primarily, when you hear or think about children of disobedience, you think of the ungodly, the unsaved, the ones that are worshiping and following Satan. But this can also apply to the children of God that have become disobedient, that will suffer the wrath of God upon them, the chastisement of God coming upon them. Now, we've been going through the study in the book of Job in our Sunday school classes, and we see the so-called friends of Job blasting him, saying the hardships that come upon him are coming upon him because of his sinful behavior. Sometimes that is true. Not in the case of Job, and not always in the case of ourselves. Sometimes hardships come upon us. Chastisements is what we might think they are, but they're not chastisements. They are challenges. Because sometimes the hardships come upon you in order for you to grow spiritually and to show your testimony to others around you how you can go through hardships and still praise the Lord, just like Job did, all the way through that, to always bringing honor and glory to the Lord, praising the Lord, not understanding all the time why you're going through what you're going through. Yes, sometimes we can figure it out easily, because sometimes we can clearly see in our behavior and see the results of our behaviors, like, okay, I shouldn't have been doing that because now I'm paying a price, and it's very clear. But other times things come upon us that we haven't got a clue why it is. But we need to hang on for the ride, as I always say, because there's a purpose for all of it. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't associate yourself with the children of disobedience. It reads, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul always reminding us where we came from. We were in the darkness. We need to stay out of that darkness, not go back into it. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, or expose them, show them, reveal them, know them, stay away from them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. This waking up, like some people need to wake up every once in a while. They're slumbering. They're sleeping. They have gotten so comfortable that they're just kicked back and relaxed. And some of them get comfortable in their sins because they're not seeing the chastisement upon them. They're thinking, well, okay, I'm doing this, and some folks say it's a sin, but there's nothing happening to me, so I guess it's okay to keep doing this. Well, come judgment day, you might find out how many rewards that you burned up, that you're not going to be able to enjoy for eternity because of what you're doing. We don't always get that accountability upon us immediately. It's reserved for later. He might allow us to continue to do something that is against his will, that is costing us rewards, costing us maybe even time on earth, and rewards that we could have had in millennial period and over into the eternal state. We'll know come judgment day. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's not always easy, but that should be our desire. What is the will for us? We can study his word. We can look at the examples of people's lives that have been recorded in the word of God, to see the blessings and see the chastisements and see the challenges that people have gone through and how they've come through it and what they've done, what was right, what was wrong. We can learn from the Word of God. And we can learn when we truly love God with all of our existence and the Holy Ghost is communicating with us, that constant communion with the Holy Ghost, and He can give us the revelation of what is the will of the Lord for us. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's why we sing these songs in church. As it continues, giving thanks, one of the key things over and over. Be thankful for what you have, the very breath that is within you. It's a gift from God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His finished work, we can become adopted into the family. And by that, we can receive the many, many blessings that He can pour upon us. And they are by grace. And it is amazing what He allows us to be able to enjoy and be able to build up and enjoy it later. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we understand the condition that we're in, the situation that we're in, the fact that we are not our own. It's not our body. We can do with it as I please, like so many people want to proclaim. The Lord bought everyone. He created everything to begin with, and He bought all of us back from sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. This covers all of the behaviors that we are seeing commonly displayed out there. That effeminate is speaking of homosexual. It covers all of the behaviors. There is nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, saved, sealed, become a child of God. Never to lose that. In the hand of God, nothing and no one can take us out of the hand of God. Does that mean we're always going to be obedient and always be receiving the maximum amount of blessings and rewards? No, not necessarily. Because He still has given us a free will. He gives us permission to sin. He allows us to sin. He doesn't want us to sin. It is not within His will for us to sin, but He does allow us to do that. He has to. Otherwise, we would just become as robots, being manipulated, totally submitted in that way, and not by choice, but by the power of God. He controls us. That's not what He wants. He wants us to freely and willfully, with our desire to love Him and to follow Him, to follow and want to do His will. Not just what He allows us to do, but His will. And He gives us the guidelines. He gives us the law that is in here to help us understand that. And to know that there are things that we can do that are sins, that will hurt us in our rewards, that will hurt us in our relationship with God. He won't kick us out of the family. He won't abandon us in that way. He won't put us up for adoption back to Satan. No, He still acknowledges us as we are part of the family. But you might get a serious whooping. You might get a serious whooping now. You might be getting your serious whooping later. You better hope you can go ahead and get it now and get it out of the way and then get right with the Lord. And Paul speaking here about behavior of Christians and himself as well in verse 12, all things are lawful unto me. That lawful being, he can do everything. He can even sin. But he knows that sins are not profitable. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He's not going to surrender back to the behavior of sin. Meats for the belly and a belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. We become a tabernacle. We become the dwelling place of God in the form of the Holy Ghost. We're going to be careful where we take that, what we expose that to. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Emphasizing, ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Bought with a price. We were bought back by the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, the horrible treatment that Jesus Christ had to go through, the horrible torturous experience of being on that cross and suffering and taking on all the sins of all mankind, paying the price for everyone, bought everyone back, even those that will never turn to him. He paid the price for their sins as well. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, picking up in verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sins, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, rivalings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Here, Peter is reminding us of our past, of our sinful ways. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them. Like, the world out there is kind of wondering, why aren't you still participating in the same sinful behavior that I knew you participated in with us before in the past, but now you're saying you're a Christian, you won't do it. What, do you think you're better than we are? And you look your nose down at us and criticize and condemn and judge us. No, we walk like the Lord wants us to walk. We try to reach out to those, but not be taken in with them and become partakers with them again. Help them come out of that behavior. Verse 4 again, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? They'll be held accountable for condemning you, for calling you evil and hateful, when it's the other way around. Everyone's going to be judged. Everyone's going to be looked at. Everything's going to be revealed. It's all going to be revealed. All behavior, all in the darkness, all wherever, it's all going to be revealed, all going to be looked at. You got to get it washed in the blood, taken away as far as the east is from the west, for it never to be brought back up against you by the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, two verses here, which is very simply put, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. How do we get that? By, as he says there, presenting ourselves. Lord, here I am. Everything that I am, everything that I have is yours. Lead, guide. Every step I take, every thought that I have. Because he says there, a pure mind, give you a new mind. Renewing your mind is a very important part of this, because we have that mindset of selfishness that the Lord hates. He does not want us to have that selfishness. The world wants us to have that, teaches us that from very early on, to be selfish. It's all about self-help these days. Look for yourself. What do you need? What is your desire? It's your body. Do with it as you please, which is all wrong, totally wrong. We need to always know that we are the Lord's. He bought us. We belong to Him. Act like it. Behave like it. Reasonable. It's only reasonable. After what He's done for us, it's only reasonable that we say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want to do with me, show me what you want me to do. Guide me. Direct me. Motivate me. Encourage me. Whatever it takes, ask for it. Because He tells us that. And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a couple verses here, verse 16 and 17, it reads, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's one of the things that we've got to really wrap our heads around and know, that we have been elevated up to the point of being the dwelling place of the Spirit of God when we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. He comes into us. He dwells with us. He communes directly with our spirit, bringing our spirit back to life in a constant connection to the Heavenly Father. And we merely need to allow that new mind to take place, that where we can tap into that and understand that communication and apply it properly. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That's a powerful verse there. The destruction that can come upon someone, physical destruction or eternal destruction, for going up against a Christian, going up against a potential Christian, causing them to stumble and not become a Christian, or a Christian themselves turning against the Lord, becoming backslidden and getting physically destroyed. So we got to know there's accountability. Always. He's going to look at everything. It's going to be a time. Over in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17 speak of Christian behavior. For time's sake, we're not going to go into all those verses, but we need to know that we got to humble ourselves. And then as verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, that means if ye be born again Christians, risen with Christ is what he's speaking of there. Risen with Christ means you've become born again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And then he goes into the details all the way down through verse 17 there, speaking of how our attitude needs to be and how we need to be praying constantly, and we need to be praying for each other, strengthening each other to come together as the family of God and staying together. And then over in Romans chapter 14, in one verse here, 14 verse 12, reads, So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We know there's a day of judgment. We know there's a day of accountability. Every one of us shall give account individually for what we have done with our lives in the time that he's given us. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, we know that everything in creation is winding down. They are harping about climate change because I drive a big old four-wheel drive truck. They're blaming me because it's cold or because it's hot or because it rains or because it doesn't rain. What we're doing ain't got nothing to do with the weather. Can we pollute the world and make it harmful to live in? Sure, we're supposed to be good stewards and take care of the planet, yes. But don't think that we can control the weather. That's bizarre and freakish. We cannot control the weather. So we got to be good stewards, not mess with the planet, yes. But don't worship the planet. Because we know everything here is going to be destroyed, vaporized, into nothingness that he speaks of there in 2 Peter chapter 3. But picking it up in verse 10, it reads, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." We as born-again Christians are looking forward to the day that the Lord destroys this whole planet and all of creation completely melts it away. Because we know what we have to look forward to, everything brand new. In verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." That's what we born-again Christians have to look forward to, and that's something truly to look forward to. So we can get our eyes off of the world, off of worshiping the animals or the plants or the planet or the universe, and worshiping God, knowing what we have to look forward to for eternity. Be good stewards, yes. In being good stewards, we take care of everything the Lord has blessed us with, starting with our bodies. We take care of ourselves. And then everything that he's blessed us with around us, which is the entire creation around us that we have any control over, limited control, but sometimes we do have control. Not to pollute things unnecessarily, not to destroy things unnecessarily, but to always know that it belongs to the Lord, so treat it like that. It's all his. Take care of it. Yes. Don't worship it. Read 13 again. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." That's what we need to always have in mind. To always, 100% of the time, be found without spot and blameless. How do you do that? When you stumble, when you mess up, when you yield to the temptations of the world and go into those dark places and do those sins, we got a way to get that taken care of. That is by turning to the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We do that. We fail, we take it back to the Lord. But like I always say, it isn't that you get born again and again and again. No, you get born again once. And you become a child of God. That doesn't mean you're going to always be obedient. Sometimes you're going to stumble. Sometimes you're going to fall. Sometimes you're going to be weak. You're going to that tug of war that Paul talks about, that he wasn't always winning himself. We have that same situation, the tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. Stay on the spirit side. Lean toward the spirit. Stay spiritually minded. And sometimes we do stumble. Sometimes we do mess up. Because he says there in chapter 2, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world," like I was speaking of earlier. He paid the price for all sin of all mankind. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Those two great ones primarily. Love God with all your existence and to love others as yourself. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Walk as the Lord. He gave us that blessed example when he come down here to live amongst us, and we ought to take advantage of that example. Apply that to our lives. Do we love others as much as the Lord loves us? I dare say I don't know anybody that does, but we should. That should be our goal, to really and truly love others to the point that you're willing to lay down your life for other people. And that's the example he gave us. But we need to know that we're bought with a price and that we need to strive to be acceptable unto God by listening to the Holy Ghost, by studying His Word, and by yielding fully to the Lord. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. It's so powerful and it can apply to us every single day. And help all of us have that burning desire to always dig into there to find that message you want us to have in that day and to apply it properly and to take that love that you pour upon us, that mercy, that grace that you pour upon us, and to open up and share that with the world out there. It seems to be getting darker by the day, but help us be such a bright light that is your light shining through us that the world can see a pathway to come to you, to become one of your family. And we truly thank you for it. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.